All right, Cornerstone, good morning. Good morning. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, I'm going to begin at the beginning. Well, thank you all so much just for, you know, it's just an amazing day. I'm a little more nervous than I normally am, you know, but, you know, it's awesome to see so many of my family and friends here and my neighbors here and just the love of all the brothers and sisters from Cornerstone. So I'm just grateful for just the love and the support. So this past week I was thinking about my name in particular. And, you know, when you're a kid, back when I was growing up, there wasn't a really good way to sort of figure out what your name meant. You know, nowadays, you can just go type it in Google. Or Siri. Okay, Siri, you know, what does Fenton mean? You know? Okay, Google, what's the meaning of the name Byron? You know? What does Natasha mean? You know, but back in the day, it was just sort of no way to know. And so, doing a little Google search, it's very interesting, some of the results that come up, you know, when you think about, when you put in the term or put in the name Fenton. So, first thing that comes up is there's a glass company in Virginia, Fenton Glass. Apparently, that's the thing, you know, Fenton Glass. And so, this is so ironic, or I don't know if ironic is the best word, but I can't even draw stick figures. But, you know, my name is associated with a glass artistry company, you know. So that's one thing that'll come up if you search Fenton. There's another thing. Lee knows exactly about this, you know. If you grew up, like when I grew up, there was a show called DuckTales. Right?
Tales of daring, you got in good luck tales.
Woo! Right? You know? And one of the characters on DuckTales, his name is Fenton Crackshell. Wow. Yeah. And he's not only Fenton Crackshell, but he's got an alter ego, a secret identity. He's Gizmo Duck. Whenever he says the words blathering blatherskites, he turns into Gizmo Duck. And so, you know, that's another thing. If you search Fenton, this will come up. The cool thing is they're rebooting DuckTales, and the actor that does the voice of him is Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame. So that's cool to be, yeah, indeed, to be associated with him. This is the funny one. From 2011... I don't know if you remember this viral video. There was a guy walking his dog out in Richmond Park in London or near London. And he's walking his dog, and apparently there's this like huge herd of deer. I don't know if it's a park where the deer normally congregate or whatever, but he's walking his dog, and suddenly his dog sees all these deer and he just takes off. And so this guy, he's running, this old guy, he's running. He's like, the dog's name is Fenton. He's like, Fenton! Fenton! Jesus Christ! Fenton, come back! You know. And it's such a hilarious video. And I was looking back through my Facebook feed for this picture, and it was like, man, my name will forever be associated with a happy-go-lucky, deer-chasing Labrador. You know. But, you know, our names mean a lot of things. And when you think about what your name means, it may affect you, it may not mean much to you. But the question for today is, when you see the word, the name, God, what do you think? Daddy. All right. Do you think, let me start my timer. You know, I'm just off today. All right. All right. You know, do you think the cosmic judge? Do you think fire and brimstone? Do you think good, good father? Do you think, or do you feel loved or insecure? Do you feel worried? Is he just an old guy in the sky sitting in a rocking chair that doesn't really care about what's going on in your life? What do you think when you hear the word God? Well, for me, one of the things I think about is what we're going to read here in Genesis chapter 1. Read with me in Genesis 1. We're going to start in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, the first day. And so for me, when I think about God, I think about Genesis 1 a lot of times. I think he's the creator. I think in the beginning, God. He's the supreme being. He's Elohim. That's actually a plural noun. So why later on he says, "Let us make man in our image." Even from Genesis, we have hints of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I think not just a creator, but the creator. Because in the beginning, God. And the thing is, it wasn't his beginning. It was the beginning of time. God is eternal. He's outside of it, right? He's outside of time, space, and matter. So there's a really cool video I wanted to show you guys. It's about 2 minutes long. We're going to watch it. And a theologian or, I don't know, a Bible professor was asked the question, you know, where did God come from? So we're going to watch this video of his response that I think is phenomenal.
Go ahead. All right, your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong, obviously it displays that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Time, space, and matter is what we call a continuum. All of them have to come into existence at the same instant, because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth. There's matter. So you have time, space, matter created, a trinity of trinities there. Just, you know, time is past, present, future. Space has length, width, height. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. You have a trinity of trinities created instantaneously, and the God who created them has to be outside of them. If he's limited by time, he's not God. The guy who created this computer is not in the computer. He's not running around in there changing the numbers on the screen, okay? The God who created this universe is outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, in it, through it. He's unaffected by it. So for, and the concept that a spiritual force cannot have any effect on a material body, well then I guess you'd have to explain to me things like emotions and love and hatred and envy and jealousy and rationality. I mean, if your brain is just a random collection of chemicals that formed by chance over billions of years, how on earth can you trust your own reasoning processes and the thoughts that you think? Okay, so your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping, that's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you.
So it's funny, if we were to run the video all the way out, the cameraman obviously was savage because he immediately deadpanned over to the guy that had asked the question to show his reaction, you know. But yeah, you know, I love that. And he said a lot of things, and he was talking really fast. I do that myself sometimes too, you know. But one of the things I love about this is he says, you know, time, space, and matter, all three of them have got to come into existence at the same time, right? Because otherwise, when would you put the matter? Where would you put the matter? And the Bible answers that in its first few words. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, the matter. And so it's so amazing to think about the fact that God is outside of all of this, but cares about it. You know, it's so interesting to think about, how can you be sort of outside or remove? That's the words we use. I'm going to need to remove myself from the situation to guard my heart. Right? I need to pull back so that this won't affect me. But God created all of this, and yet he's affected by it in a sense of his heart, what Chad was talking about during the communion. And so first point today I want to look at is, you know, when we think about this God, Moses said, you know, who should I go and say sent me? And God tells them, say, I am that I am. The idea that he just exists. I am. Before time, space, and matter. I am. In the beginning, I am. Daniel describes him as the Ancient of Days. Meaning he's older than the concept of days. You know? And so the first point today is that God is, whoa, God is a God of the impossible. God does impossible things. God is able to simply do things that are impossible for us to even do or even fathom. Think about this. If you were to keep reading in Genesis, God created light on day one. But God didn't create the sun and the moon until day four. Now, I went to Georgia Tech and all. But how is that possible? And what happens is science a lot of times tries to explain these things and they get frustrated. It's a quote from a guy by the name of William Bragg. He said, from religion comes a man's purpose. From science, his power to achieve it. Sometimes people ask if religion and science are opposed to each other. Well, they are. They are in the sense that the thumb and the finger are opposed to one another. It is an opposition by means of which anything can be grasped. You see, they work together. So we were on vacation last week and we went to a museum called the Museum of Discovery and Science down in Miami. And it was so amazing, so interesting just to listen to some of these presentations and to read some of these facts. Like, science just fascinates me. Like, the idea that you could plug something in the wall and then power a room. Right? It's phenomenal. The idea that you can put this liquid material into basically a box of metal and springs and you can drive it. Right? Science is phenomenal. But think about this too. There had to be a purpose and idea behind it. Think about the fact that if I were to, you know, trip and maybe cut my finger, in a couple of days, it'll heal. You won't even know that I had a cut there. Somebody thought about that. Man, these crazy humans, they're going to trip and fall. They're clumsy. They don't need the means to heal themselves. Even if you break a bone, if it's reset right, it'll heal. As a matter of fact, it'll heal stronger. Somebody thought about that. The plants all across this planet, they give off oxygen. We give off carbon dioxide. Somebody thought about that. And so this God that is outside of space, time, and matter cares and thought about what was going to be going on this planet. When you look at nature all around us, not just the beauty of it, but think about the logic of it. If the planet Earth were like, I don't know, 2 miles closer to the sun, it would be a scorched planet. If it were 2 miles farther from the sun, it'd be a frozen planet. It just so happens to be in the right spot. By accident, you know. And so, you know, when people talk about, oh, but what about the Big Bang Theory? You know, I remember what Charles, a good buddy of mine, Charles, this is a guy that studied the Bible with me 18 years ago. Taught me how to be a disciple of Jesus and taught me what it really means to follow Jesus. I remember he used to say something. Well, yeah, there was a big bang. Well, who caused the bang? Right? Somebody thought about this. You ever heard the story about the scientists challenging God to a competition? So one day a group of scientists got together. They decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go to him and tell him that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go on and get lost? Well, God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. After the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest, since you know how to clone people. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. But God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. So the scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down, grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God looked at him, chuckled a little bit, and said, no, you get your own dirt. And so, you remember that old song, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. That's not true with God. God started with, for us, there was nothing but him. And he made something. And so for me, this makes me believe and have faith and have trust in the God that can do the impossible. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Some of the older translations say, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, our ancestors won God's approval. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. God can take nothing and make something. And not just can, but he did. And he can also do that. God can do the impossible with our own very lives. So I told this story last fall. Over at the Northview Church, every summer we send teens to Bolivia for service project. And I'd gone several summers. And so last year, 2017 summer, I was supposed to be going again. And this was the first time that all the adults that were going, so we usually take four adults and eight teens, all the adults that were going, all the adults that had previously gone, none of them were going. I was the only sort of veteran. And so in addition, normally when I've gone, I've just done interpretation and translation, just sort of be there to help out. But this time I was the guy, the administrator. I had to, you know, look out for the finances, make sure everybody ate, and just do all these different things that I'd never done before. And so we're packing. I'm packing. I'm like, hey, I've done this. So I waited till the day before, you know, to start packing. And I'm packing. I go and I go to get my passport. And, you know, in my brain, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I went to study abroad in Mexico in 2008. So I've got till 2018, you know, 10 years on your passport. And so I go to get it and I look and it had expired in January. And I remembered, oh, yeah, that job I had out in Kansas City, they sent me to Mexico. That was when I got my passport. And we were leaving the next day at like 4 o'clock. This was like 7 p.m. or something that night. And so I was like, oh, my God. I say it from my office. Oh, my God. Natasha's like, what? What's going on? I'm like, oh, my God. She's like, what? What's going on? I'm like, oh, my God. You know, she's like, what, Fenton? And so I said, my passport is expired. She's like, you're kidding me. No, I'm not. And she's like, all right, let me go look on the internet. And, you know, Natasha's awesome, and she's just going to go to work and try to find a solution. So I called Jim Linehan, who's the leader over at Northview, and I'm like, well, bro, I don't even know how to say this. My passport's expired. He goes, let me call you back. Click. So they start scrambling, and they're thinking maybe they can get one of the guys that went the previous year to go. And another brother calls me from the leadership team, a guy by the name of Tim Cummings, Dr. Tim Cummings. And he's like, all right, so explain to me the situation. I'm explaining. And he's like, so basically what you're saying is we need a miracle. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, fortunately, I know somebody that does that. And I say, who? Then about 10 seconds later, I'm like, oh, amen. 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 But ended up happening, you know, that night we found out, you know, they've got these places in certain cities called the Passport Agency. They've got one in Atlanta. My sister Jocelyn is here from New York. I love you, sis. She's here. And she has an apartment downtown that my other sister was living in. And so we drive all the way out to Conyers, take the kids to my parents' house. I go spend the night at my sister's apartment, which is like walking distance from the Passport Agency. And so we called, because usually you have to get an appointment. And I called, and the appointments were like 2 weeks away. I could go. So that was useless. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to try to go walk in. So I go early that morning, and I'm in the line. And, you know, it's a long line. They come out, they're like, hey, we're going to try to get everybody in, but we don't know if we can. You know, so just wait in line. So we go in about 7:30. And they give a line for people that have appointments and a line for people that don't, you know. And fortunately, by the glory of God, you know, there were just so few people. They put me in the line of people that already had appointments. And I got my passport by like 2:30 that day to be in the airport by 4. And so God of the impossible. Who gets a passport in less than 12 hours? You know, but God of the impossible. And so I told Natasha after that, I was like, babe, whenever I'm having a faithless moment, just say one word, passport. Just remind me that God can do the impossible. But here's the thing. He's not just the creator. He's not just the supreme being. He's not just this galactic master. But he's also a father. Turn over to John chapter 1. You ever watch the show Lost? Or Heroes? Game of Thrones? You know. In all these shows, particularly a sci-fi show, when it's gone on long enough, eventually they have the flashback episode. Eventually, they have an episode where they flashback, usually to episode 1, and they tell you something you didn't know before. This happens in movies, right? The Scream trilogy or, you know, Star Wars. You know, they flashback, right? Star Wars is making whole movies out of flashbacks now, you know, to sort of give you an update or give you new information. Let's read in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness has not overcome it. This starts off, does this sound familiar? Ring a bell. So what John is doing is he's writing this gospel. He's giving you a retelling, an update. He's starting the gospel going back to the beginning. He's letting you know what? Jesus was there. The Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Everything that was created through him. It's sort of a flashback to say, hey, there's some information that you might not have known, but any first century Jew that's reading this gospel, when he saw the words in the beginning, is going to think Genesis 1. And so it's a parallel that John is writing about it. And so in Genesis 1, we have the first cosmic shift that occurred in the universe when God decided to create the universe. And down in verse 14 of this chapter, we have what I call the second cosmic shift. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. So this same God that is outside of time, space, and matter decided to insert himself in the matrix. He decided to put himself inside of his own creation in the form of his son. And so even though God is invisible and outside and supreme being, he decided to step in because he's a good, good father. The reason he did that is Jesus needed to show us how to live. God had made this wonderful earth, this wonderful creation. And let's be honest, from the first human that ever existed, we've just been messing it up ever since. And so God said, you know what? I'm not just going to create this place. I'm going to show them how to live in it. I'm going to send my son, not just to show them how to live in it, but to make up for their shortcomings. So when I think about God of the impossible, I don't just think of God being the God of the impossible, but because of Jesus, because of the Word coming flesh, when I think about God, when I hear the word God, I also think about the God of the I'm possible. Jesus made it possible for us to see who and how God really is. He made it possible for us to have an intimate relationship with the Father. So it's very interesting. When I went on vacation, we were down in Miami, and something that happened to me down there that's never happened before. I got sunburned. Now, you might be wondering, wait, do black people get sunburned? Is that possible? Is that a thing? You know? Is that even a thing? Yes, it's a thing. And so, you know, a couple of days after, I was like, why is my skin all? What is going on? Like, this has never happened to me before. I'm like, what is? Oh, we were outside in the sun for like 6 straight hours. I mean, the water was just warm. It was like a bath out there in the ocean, you know, out in Miami. And so we just stayed out there. And I didn't put on sunblock. And so I got to thinking after that, you know, God is a lot like the sun. You know, the sun gives us heat. It gives us light. It gives us a lot of great things. But if you look directly at it for a long time, what's going to happen? You'll go blind. If you stay out there in it too long, what's going to happen? You're going to cook. You know? And so the solution is you sort of need something as a barrier, so to speak, in between. And so, who or what is that sunblock? It's the blood of Jesus. So God is so righteous, he's so holy that, you know, because we in and of ourselves are imperfect, right? Because we're sinners, if we try to approach him, it's not that he's mean or doesn't want us in his presence, he's just too holy for us. And so God said, but I want to be with them. I want to be super close to them. I want to be intimate with them. So he came up with this amazing solution. I'm going to go down, insert myself into the matrix, and guess what? I'm not just going to show them how to live. I'm going to die for them. And my son's blood is going to be like sunblock. Now I can stay out on the beach all day. Right? I can put on the glasses and watch an eclipse. Right? Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And so when I think about Jesus and his blood, it makes it possible for us to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Yep. You can go to God and feel like he loves me. Oh, how he loves us. He's a good, good father. It is well with my soul because of what Jesus did. Jesus is our righteousness. Yeah. And so when I think about my life and I think about God being the God of I'm possible, I'm thinking about God being the restorer of things that are broken. So, as a young disciple, and I've shared this a couple times here at Cornerstone, you know, I wasn't perfect, like Chad and Mandy shared, you know? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you always do the right thing. Right? And I went through a period where I just made some grave mistakes. I had brought just the worst spiritual year I've ever had. About a year, I was just struggling. Gone back to old habits, giving in to sin, just kind of giving up. Now, I never felt like I didn't believe in God anymore. I didn't believe in Jesus, but I just was not doing right. Old folks say, you just ain't living right. You know? And because, you know, when I was young, before that stuff happened, I had all these dreams of how my life was going to go. It's like, okay, I became a disciple. I'm going to help a lot of people become disciples. And guess what? I'm going to find a cute girl, and I'm going to marry her. And guess what? After we get married, we're going to go into the ministry. And I had this whole dream planned and mapped out. And then I messed it up, as we humans do. And as I was struggling that year, I just kind of gave up on that dream. I sort of shelved it and said, well, I'm just going to have to do something else with my life. And it's like 15 years later. Whenever I get done talking up here, leaders of this church are going to come and appoint me an evangelist. But it's only because of the God of I'm possible. Not by my righteousness. Not because I just reformed so much and I've been so awesome, super disciple since that stuff. It's because God had a plan and God wants to get you from A to B. But when you get off, he still wants to get you from A to B. But now you're starting from C. But he's still trying to get you to B. And maybe you get off and you're starting from D. But he's still trying to get you to B. And as long as you have faith in the blood of Jesus and who he is, that he is the Son of God that died for you, and he's the God of I'm possible, any of your dreams, any of those spiritual dreams you've had can still happen. Yes. What about you? Amen. What are the dreams you've given up on because of your mistakes? Or because maybe sin was done to you? Or stuff you did? What are the dreams you've given up on and felt like, well, that's just not possible? The blood of Jesus says, I'm possible. It's possible. And so the awesome, amazing thing is, you know, going back to that passport story, that summer down in La Paz, the La Paz church, they asked me to preach a sermon in Spanish. And you just want to talk about bucket list items from the time I became fluent. You know, something I'd want to do is share the gospel in another language. And God said, I'm possible. Right? I still got a really cute girl. You know, awesome children, Because God said, I'm possible. From impossible to I'm possible. What about your dreams? What have you said this is impossible to do? Because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. And the reason that's true is because God's son became a man so that men could become sons of God. God's son became a man so that men could become sons of God. You know, when you become a disciple of Jesus, when you believe, repent, get baptized, right, what happens? You get the blood of Jesus. You get that sunblock to cleanse you. But not only that, you get the Holy Spirit. So back to this parallel. It's so amazing. God, even from the first verses of the Bible, was thinking about so many things, foreshadowing so many things. So you've got, in the beginning, right, you've got God's Spirit hovering over the waters. You've got this movement from darkness to light. You've got a spoken word. God was foreshadowing conversion in the first five verses of the Bible. We have the spoken word that Jesus is Lord. You go under the water, you come up, the Spirit is hovering to indwell you. And so God went from being this supreme being outside, not went from, but the supreme being outside of it to inserting himself into his own creation. And not just that, because Jesus was here for 33 years. So what about after he left? I'm going to give you my Spirit. So as a matter of fact, you are inserted back into me, into that cosmic power, into that cosmic creator, into that supreme being. You have a connection with him everywhere you go. You have the protection of the cross with you everywhere you go. And so that's why God can say to you, I'm possible. You have direct access to Yahweh, to Elohim, through his Spirit. And so when we think about God being the God of the impossible, God being the God of I'm possible, what is it that made all this possible? We'll turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We'll close out here. Georgia Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's how I remember it. All right. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, says, adopt the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ, who, existing in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Yeshua, at the name of the Messiah, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what takes impossible to I'm possible. Because not only did he come to show us the way, not only did he come to show us who and what God is like, not only did he come to show us this is what love is, he was willing to die on a cross. Not just any death, but a brutal death in our place. And so because of his sacrifice, anything is really possible. If a supreme being can create something, insert himself in it, come die for us, and then leave his Spirit for us, anything is possible. So the challenge today is, let's believe in the God of the impossible, but also the God of the impossible. Thank you.
Morning, church. As we get assembled here, this is really an exciting day.
Amen.
We are limited by time, space, and matter. And so as Fenton was sharing, there are chapters, and this is a happy day and a happy chapter.
Oh, thanks.
So this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to share a little bit about Fenton, and then as a leadership group to appoint him as the cornerstone evangelist. I'm supposed to give you a short recap of the letter that we announced to the church last week, but I'm going to read it quickly because I think it would be important for those of the family and those of the friends that didn't get to hear just how encouraging this chapter has been for us. So this is what was read last week, and I'll read it again. Last fall, we found ourselves and our congregation in dire need of healing, direction, and leadership. We prayed for God's Spirit to direct us, to give us faith, and to send us help. Our call to Jim Lenihan and the Northview Church and their swift action to bring help gave us hope and comfort. We experienced a first century rescue, a strong church helping a weaker church weather a storm. We're forever grateful to the Northview Church and leadership team for their generosity, prayers, time, effort, and sacrifice. They've shown us the love of God through their words, actions, and spirit. The help from Northview involved their sending worship leaders, feeding us a meal, praying for us continually, and allowing us to have Fenton Gardner as an interim minister to help us grow through healing and faith and to be made new. Fenton, Natasha, Chloe, and Noel have given their hearts to Cornerstone since December and have truly become part of our hearts as well. Fenton's passion, excitement, love, faith, and preaching have made an impact on Cornerstone. He's gone far beyond the role of interim minister by his service and hard work. Today, this was from last week, the Cornerstone leadership team and the board of directors are happy to announce that we have offered Fenton the full-time role of evangelist of Cornerstone, and he has graciously accepted. He will officially begin his new role on August 1, just in the nick of time. Fenton, Natasha, and the family are on a well-deserved vacation. This was from last week, and we'll be back next week. We also want to thank you, the Cornerstone Church, for your love, patience, and support for all of us, and for your commitment to God and Cornerstone. It is a great day.
The Bible states, it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Greg Dixon was supposed to come share encouraging words, but he's not here. So that lot has been fallen to me, and that's a pretty easy thing to do when it comes to Fenton Gardner, to say some encouraging words. When we decided to extend this offer to Fenton, basically Fenton won the position. It wasn't a competition, but he won. He won the position because he won our hearts. And he won our hearts by giving his heart. So, well done. You think of Fenton, I think of a work in progress. He is a young evangelist. He is still growing, and as we all should be, right? We're all a work in progress. And so it's nice to be on that journey together. He's humble. He's open. He's got energy.
Amen.
Enthusiasm, joy, happiness, and that's real contagious. He's smart. He's going to have a PhD before long. He knows three languages. He is a teacher, but more than that, he's a student. He's still learning. He's a man of faith. It's a leap of faith for him. And even though it's a lifelong dream, it still took a leap of faith. He has a desire and has demonstrated his hunger to know every single person in this church personally. And he is just consistently working his way through the flock. And he's not content with serving from a distance. He wants an intimate knowledge and relationship with every one of us. He is a true evangelist. He loves to share the good news with people. He loves it. He brings to us his strengths, but he also honors and recognizes our strengths as a congregation. And to combine those things to really be a more fully alive and engaging and fruitful ministry, we are just thrilled to have Fenton. So Fenton, I have a charge to you from the scriptures. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, God gives you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. Oh, man. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank God, the impossible God, the I'm possible God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for just his love for me. I'm just so grateful. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'm just grateful to be here. I'd like to thank my family, my amazing wife, Natasha. I love you so much. Thanks for being my partner, my best friend, the mother of my children, my baby mama, my buddy, my lifelong partner. I love you so much. Thankful for Chloe and Noel. You know, they had to be on board too. And you know, Chloe said on that last day, she said, "Dad, we should do this." You know, when we were deciding. Just thankful to my parents for raising me, going to church, in the Bible, for just being the best parents on the planet. I'm so grateful for my dad being a good, good father to me. It makes it easy to imagine how God is because of the type of father that you are to me. To my mom, I'm about to cry, golly. Oh, man. Oh, man. They've done so much and been so supportive, you know, and Natasha as well, from working in corporate America to becoming a teacher to a whole new change. They've been so supportive. To my sister, Jocelyn, who's been just an amazing role model. Like, she is such a great role model. I know I went to college because she went to college. You know, I'm just so grateful for you guys. To my other sister, Carolyn and Bettina, who are not here, but are just amazing women. I'm just grateful. Charles, thank you so much for studying the Bible with me. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much for teaching me about Jesus. You know, so many other people, my friends and family, and You know, I could go on all day naming names. Lee, you know, my best friend of so many years, Wayne, you know, it's just... Thank you to Jim Linehan, Steve Sapp, the Northview leadership for training me, for believing in me. You know, but last and definitely not least, thank you to Cornerstone. Honestly, right? This doesn't happen if you guys... I feel so wanted by this congregation. Amen. And loved and supported and believed in by this congregation. And so I'm just so grateful just for this opportunity to serve the Lord with you. So thank you to the leadership team. Thanks for believing in me, for choosing me. To Tim and Richard, who couldn't be here as well, thank you guys. I'm just excited, you know, and ultimately, and as we always say, it's to God be the glory, not Fenton. You know, I'm just a servant of Christ along with you. I'm no closer to the cross than any of you. Right? So, thank you so much. I love you all.
Okay, I would like everybody, as possible, if we could all bridge the gaps, hold on to one another's shoulders as we hold on to Fenton up here, that each person in this congregation do that, if all possible. And as soon as we get there, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer.